You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It is super crosstalk time. John and I are at UC Irvine, where the Rams have completed their practice for today. We're at Rams training camp. Of course, it is the day after we lose the great Vin Scully, who passed away at the age of 94 last night. 67 years as the voice of the Dodgers, and one of the biggest Dodger fans I know. And joining us right now for super crosstalk, DeMarco Farr and Ramona Shelburne. Mola, I know you are a huge Scully fan. I know you met him. I know you're a huge Dodger fan. Tell me what's going through your mind.
Well, you know, it's weird. I wear Vin Scully shirts all the time. Like, I have one on today. And after he retired, I went, you know, he has like the Vin Scully, I think there's like three or four of them you can buy. And I guess I've just been wearing them a lot lately. And I don't know why I was wearing them. And I happened to be wearing one last night when I was watching the Dodger game and saw the news that he had passed. And it was like, I don't know, I just kind of felt close to him. Maybe sometimes as somebody's leaving us, you feel that, right? But my goodness, 94 years old, with it, amazing guy to the, you know, like he was strong. I mean, you see him on Twitter the last few years, right? Like, what a life well lived.
He was sharper at his age than I am at mine. I can tell you that much.
Oh, well.
I mean, just a crystal clear mind. And those stories and that history and all that stuff. I mean, to master that and to be able to time it in the context of a baseball game is extraordinary.
Amazing. And I just think like that, I mean, we all got to go someday, right? But if you make it to 94 with, you know, yourself, as beloved as he was, as good as he was, all the way, sharp as a tack, all the way to the end. Like, I don't remember him ever having a bad call at the end, like his last few years.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
I'm with you. I'm sure he did. You don't remember.
But I remember thinking, all right, so he's been doing this a long time. Has he lost anything off his fastball? Nothing. Never lost anything off his fastball.
Hey, I'm going to. Go ahead, Ramona.
Well, no, the thing that I always felt about Vin, too, is like, there's a lot of people who play a character when they're on the radio, or they play.
I don't know anything about that.
They play a part, you know. They play who they think you want to hear. Or they play who they want you to be. And then when you become this legend, like Vin was like a legend. You have to be the character of the legend, right? Who's drinking something?
he's playing his character.
So perfect. I'm like being all eloquent over there, and it's like.
I was thirsty. I mean, seriously, got a drink.
But
you were very eloquent.
By the way.
When you're
a legend, and you have to be that legend everywhere you go. Like, you have to be the legend, Vin Scully, when you walk into the supermarket.
Can you imagine like him going to a gas station? Because everybody sees you. And now that we live in this age of cell phones, how many times did people ask, can he take a picture?
So my dad, one time at the airport, I looked over and I saw Vin Scully in line. And I said, Dad, that's Vin Scully right there.
Yeah.
So what did my dad do? The biggest celebrity hound I know. Ran right over to Vin and said, can I get my picture with you?
Yeah, that's good. And everybody did that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And he had to be nice to everyone. And he had to be gracious to everyone. And he had to be Vin Scully
to everyone. But I think that was in his nature. Don't you think that was in his nature?
I do. Yeah. The only thing he didn't like was when we made a big deal about him.
Correct.
Right.
As he said at the very beginning of the speech at his last game, he found it embarrassing having all that attention.
I remember I used to call Lon Rosen a lot, who is one of the guys who runs the Dodgers, and I used to say, "Hey, Lon, you think Vin would do this? You think Vin would do that?" And Lon said, "John, let me make it easy on you. Vin doesn't want to do anything that brings attention to himself."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And one of the only times we got Vin Momo was Brad Zager, who produced all his stuff at Fox when Brad was producing the Dodger games and who's now the head of Fox Sports. I used to lean on Brad a lot, and I'd say, hey, you think Vin would do this? And when we asked him to come on for Bob Miller, when the Kings won the Stanley Cup, and surprise Bob with a congratulations, Brad goes, I bet you he would do that. because it's not about him, and he did.
Yeah. He was really cool about it. He did. Really cool about it.
And hey, so Momo, while we're waiting for DeMarco to get here,
I think DeMarco's there. I think I heard him.
DeMarco's there.
Hey, DeMarco.
Yeah,
hey,
that
DeMarco.
Wasn't me drinking. Yeah, that wasn't me.
No, okay.
That was me. I own it. I own my screw ups.
So DeMarco, you of course have lived all over the country. Did you get to hear Vin Scully growing up do games?
Not much. No, not much.
Yeah. So I mean, what I've been trying to explain to people is, I grew up listening to Vin Scully, Dick Enberg, Chick Hearn, and Bob Miller.
Wow.
And so when I went out to kind of start my career, I go to Monroe, Louisiana, and Beaumont, Texas, and I'm like, these announcers suck. These guys are terrible. And the truth was, they weren't terrible, and they didn't suck.
You were just comparing
them to Sinatra.
It was an impossible scale you were using. Yeah.
I'll tell you this, John. You have something I've been trying to put my finger on what it was about Vin that I admired. When you have that genuine enthusiasm for what you do and the game and the thing that you do every single day, and I'm sure there are days that you don't feel like coming in here, and then you also don't come in here sometimes, right? That's when I get to show up, right?
From time to time.
But like, I genuinely feel like when you're on air, you're really happy to be doing what you're doing.
No doubt.
Yeah, it's fun. Generally, like when it's a fun game. And he obviously found so much fun in doing baseball games.
Doing baseball games. And he had nice boundaries with his life. Remember, he didn't do games east of the Rockies for a long time. And then towards the end, he kind of he only did L.A. and San Francisco and San Diego, just the California games. And like I don't know if people realize how much he scaled back towards the end, because it was almost like not a Dodger game unless
Ben
was calling it.
Right, he was kind of doing just the West Coast games at one point. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, that's like that's how you work.
A little Vin
is
better than no Vin.
Yeah, and I still hear his voice all the time when you tune into the broadcast. You go to the stadium, like here it's time for Dodger baseball. Like I feel like he's one of he just did it right. He just did it right. He was not playing a character. He did not have to fake anything. That's just who he was.
Ramon, since we have you here and Mason and I are out of here in a few minutes, I wanted to get your opinion on both the Deshaun Watson suspension, the fact that they gave him six games, the arbitrator, Sue Robinson, the judge, gave him six games, and then the NFL today decided to appeal it. In other words, to take the gavel out of Judge Robinson's hands and send it back to Roger Goodell. What do you think of the recommendation by the judge and of the NFL's decision to appeal it?
I thought the judge's recommendation was incredibly light. I just couldn't believe that that's what it was. But she seemed to feel hamstrung by previous precedent, which is what judges do. They look on precedent. And so she seemed hamstrung and just didn't feel empowered to make what should have been he should have been out for the season. It seemed like a really light punishment. And then the NFL, I didn't think they had any choice but to appeal it. I thought they had to.
Here's the thing. You had a former federal judge who happened to be a woman.
Yeah.
Who heard all the evidence on both sides and reached this determination. You agreed to an independent arbiter. How do you now throw out the independent arbiter's decision?
I know.
I mean, I think the decision should stand as is.
I think
she heard all the evidence. I don't know all the evidence.
Well, she didn't hear all the evidence. She only heard four of the women's complaints, right? So there was 23 women, and they only presented evidence from like four or five of them. So she didn't hear all of them. But Mace, I hear what you're saying, and I think at this point it's all performative. Like, she had to do what she had to do based on precedent because she didn't feel empowered to go further. They now have to appeal because the public reaction to this is that it's too light. I heard Adam Schefter the first night saying the NFL is upset because now the onus is back on them. The whole thing was to get Roger Goodell out of the justice business, and now he's back into it. You know, like
right.
And the whole thing, and now the players union is like, the players union's in a weird spot too, because this is what they wanted, to get Goodell out of the justice business, right? But
what's DeMarco, I want to bring you in on this, because what's interesting is Watson's people, his agents, anticipated this.
Yep.
He's only getting paid $1 million for this coming season. So if he were to take the six games, he loses, I think it's a little over $300,000, and then he's done with it. But if they take it to court, it could bleed into the following season where he could lose millions. If you, DeMarco, were Deshaun Watson, would you take it to court?
Probably not. I'd take the six games.
Right.
Yeah, and be done with it.
I think I would, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't... I
do you think six games is enough, DeMarco?
DeMarco, I don't think he will do that. Do you?
Probably not. He's going to fight it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? To be honest, Mace, you're going to have to explain this whole thing again to me. I'm sure Momo's going to. I'm not sure what the heck is going on with him anyway. Like, what happened? Mm. What's the story? What did he actually do? All I know, there's been accusers and massage therapists.
And he settled with most of them. All but one he settled with, right?
Did he force himself on people?
According to the women,
According to the women, yeah.
But, DeMarco, what makes it complicated is that there are no criminal charges. There were criminal investigations, but he was never charged criminally. So if he hasn't committed a crime in the eyes of prosecutors, why would he accept anything more than
But
six
just because
games
you're not charged with a crime doesn't mean there wasn't one. It's a really hard burden to
prove. Well, and the NFL has jurisdiction to find him.
How
even
many games did Ben Roethlisberger get?
Six. And they cut it to four. And they appealed and cut it to four.
There was no crime there. There was a lot of nastiness, but there was there were no charges.
Right.
There
the NFL has that right. Like, DeMarco, you're not an active player anymore, but if you were playing and you did something embarrassing, even if you didn't break the law, the league still has the right to say, we're suspending you.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Principal Goodell.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I would say is there's always a distinction between was there a crime committed and being charged with a crime. So just because he wasn't charged with a crime doesn't mean he didn't do it. Doesn't mean he's been exonerated. Nobody looked at him and said, okay, he didn't do it. They just said, we're not going to take this to court. We're not going to prosecute this. We're not going to charge
him. That's odd. Okay.
You know? And there's a lot there. If you read the New York Times investigation, they tracked down 66 women that
66 women.
Massage therapy.
Yeah, he likes massages.
In a nutshell,
that's for sure.
Wow. What was he doing?
So, a happy ending. I mean, that's essentially.
Okay. All right.
I mean, in a nutshell, okay, that's a.
That's it. Okay.
Ramona, and one thing I had a problem with Judge Robinson's decision is she said a couple of things.
Yeah.
She said it was nonviolent sexual activity. If I make you do anything sexually that you don't want to do, isn't that by definition violent?
Yeah, because it's a power dynamic.
If I'm doing something inappropriate
and
you don't want me to do it, I don't have consent.
Yeah.
How is that nonviolent?
When you're a 225-pound guy and the massage therapist is 100 pounds or whatever it is. And she's in a compromising
position.
And you
know what I've heard? What I've heard nobody say is, are we sure Deshaun Watson isn't just nuts? That there's not some type of issue here with him mentally? Because why would you put your career on the line
for this?
I mean, to do this to all these women, and when you know it's not.
I'll give you an example.
About Darren Sharper, same thing. Why would you do that? You don't need to. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
That's why it doesn't.
But isn't there an element of you're a big NFL star, you can get away with most anything?
Yeah.
Well, and in this case, he did. He got more guaranteed money than anyone ever.
Yep.
Part of the decision is also, John, that he is not allowed to solicit massages outside of the team or the team facility for the rest of his career as a condition of this judgment. So the judge obviously reviewed enough of the evidence because he was reaching out through Instagram, through text, you know, through whatever it was, social media mostly. There was enough there that was wildly inappropriate and borderline criminal, right? Wasn't charged with a crime, but not enough to maybe evidence to maybe prosecute, or maybe the women just didn't want to testify. That could be part of it too. Either way, generally speaking, when somebody gets a punishment that people don't think fits, that it's either not strong enough or not punished at all, you have to do two things. You have to say you're sorry, which he has not done. Have I missed it? You guys heard a part
no,
where he said
no, he's been,
he really
he has
said
not
I didn't
been,
do anything
he's not
wrong.
Been remorseful
he's really not
at all.
Yeah. Said I'm sorry?
No,
he doesn't think he did anything wrong.
Well, he settled with all of them.
Right.
Settled, but he, in his public statements.
Part of the settlement, I think, is no admission of wrongdoing. I think that the settlements are all financial.
Yeah, and even his lawyer said, oh, happy ending's not a crime.
All right.
We
only got a couple of minutes here left, and I know you guys are going to talk a lot about Vin Scully. So, DeMarco, I wanted to ask you this as the only one of the four of us who's actually played in the Super Bowl. Why is it so hard to get back? Nobody has won back-to-back Super Bowls since the Patriots in 03, and I'm you know, the Rams have that challenge in front of them now, and you'll be working the sidelines for all these games. Why is it when, you know, they obviously have a great team. They're obviously really good. They may on paper have gotten better. Why is it so hard to repeat in the NFL?
Well, it was rough for us. Vermeil retired, We were breaking in right. Mike Mart, so that was tough for us. But I do remember this, and I told Aaron Dowdle, I told Aaron Whitworth, Andrew Whitworth, after the Super Bowl, it's going to feel like you walked right off the parade float right in the training camp. And it is. Huh. It's a short offseason. And think about when they got their rings, right before camp ended, right before camp started. So that's number one. Number one, you're still celebrating while everybody's preparing to kick your butt. Number two, you get everyone's best shot, and your schedule gets tougher. So the NFL puts you on primetime. They put you with the best teams in the NFC, best teams in the league. It's just it's tough to repeat, but the teams that can become immortal. But it's really rough to get there.
What do you we interviewed Allen Robinson today. We interviewed Sean McVay. And Cooper Kupp had a dream season. Like, I'm certainly not expecting him to win the Triple Crown again. Most touchdowns, most yards, most receptions. But, DeMarco, what's a reasonable expectation for Cooper Kupp coming off of that year?
I would say something close. I mean, Sean McVay loves to get Cooper Kupp the football. I mean, he's a big part of the offense, run and pass. You could say the offense goes through him. So he's going to see 100 and 125 targets. That's not going to change. Even with Allen Robinson, he's going to be an offshoot or a byproduct of what they're doing with Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp has put on some weight. He's a little bit stronger. I think he's prepared to, you know, to take the pounding again. So I'd say somewhere close to the same number of targets. We'll see what he does after the catch.
All right, so a lot of that coming up.
Yeah, what do you guys got planned? Anything?
I think Vin Scully might come up.
Yeah, you may mention
Vin's
at some
up.
Point.
I definitely want to talk about Tom Brady's 45th birthday.
Yeah. 45, the big 4-5.
You know what? He's like the one athlete who is older than me still.
Really? He's the one athlete that's
good
older.
To know.
Yeah.
Wow,
right? Yeah. There's not that many.
I know
that,
what you mean.
Because like for the first part of your career, it's usually people, you're usually about the same age. And then you start getting older and then the players get younger.
Younger.
Wow.
Right? Like everyone I cover. Like
Tom Brady's still the one that he's still older than you.
He's still older than me.
Keep going, Tom.
Good.
I love it.
All right. Well, Momo, it is good to have you back. Stay tuned, everybody. DeMarco Farr, Ramona Shelburne in for Sedano and Cap, and they're next.
And we are back tomorrow at 1. Thanks to everybody from the Rams for having us out here at a great time. And we will be back next week. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, you gonna do the cap thing?
I love this. Yeah.
You know what? I don't dislike it when you do it. Go ahead.
You don't like it?
No. I don't
dislike
it.
Oh,
like when Cap does it, I cringe. When Cap does it, I'm like, oh, is he like scatting? Like,
because you can picture him doing it.
Yeah. I'm like, oh no. Cap.
I do like this song though. This is the first song I ever heard. Yeah.
Yeah, it's all right.
What's
hey,
up,
DeMarco Farr, Ramona Shelburne, in for Sit Out on Cap. They're off doing whatever they do. I don't know what
are they doing.
Vacate.
They're on vacation?
I feel like I know what Sedano does on vacation. He takes his kids and they like drink wine and well, not the kids, but
Sedano drinks
wine? Yeah, Sedano and his wife. They're pretty they're good foodies and wine people.
No, I didn't know that.
Okay. They're up on the Oregon coast. I saw them on Instagram.
Nice.
What do we think Cap does on vacation?
Same.
Gets drunk.
Hangs out with the people.
Yeah.
Takes off his clothes, jumps in random bathtubs.
He's in Mammoth. So.
He's in Mammoth? Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
That feels like a Cap vacation.
Wow.
Feels like he's playing golf.
Nice.
Maybe a golf guy, maybe a going out drinking kind of guy.
Do you golf, Momo? Are you golf?
I have no patience.
No patience for golf? Me
no
either.
Patience.
I'm trying to learn. I really am.
It's kind of an ex-athlete thing, but I just can't do it.
My brother's good.
I start throwing things at mini golf.
Me too. Yes. My driver is wrapped around a tree.
I've been working on being calmer. I don't think I am.
Are you a hothead?
Yeah, I'm like a perfectionist. I don't like it when I'm not good at things.
I saw a little bit in the softball game. I saw a little bit. Yeah, 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 you're hot. Where's Kirk Morrison?
I turned around. I was like, D-Far, you're the only one I feel comfortable when they hit it to you.
I had your back.
I know. I was like, when they hit it to a third, I know you're going to make the play. Everybody else, I'm like,
where's Kirk Morrison now? Bring that jersey in. See?
I don't know.
What happened?
But y'all lost.
That's right. But they lost, right? He was trying to hang that jersey up in the rafters.
So let me paint you a picture. Yeah. I'm in the studio today. It's my first day back from maternity leave.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm kind of like back in air quotes.
What do you mean? You're back? You're here.
I'm like, I'm here. Here-ish. I wore pants. That's a big thing for me these days.
Pants.
I wore pants.
You wore
pants. You know, like your first show from maternity leave, Lindsay calls and asks me, hey, will you fill in with Sedano? You know, I said, yeah, yeah, I'll do the show with George. And then all of a sudden it turned into like, oh,
they're both out.
And I'm like, who am I with? Oh, D-Far. Okay, I like D-Far. Am I going to have to lead? Oh, that's all the work?
Yeah.
Oh,
all good.
I have to pay. And then Vin Scully passed away. And I said, oh, God, we got to do the whole show. And Vinny, that's my guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was sitting there last night. I almost. Like, I cried for a while there.
You did?
Oh, yeah. I'm a crier. You don't know that about me. I'm a big crier.
She is.
I know you make people cry.
Yeah, but I cry myself a lot.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But you know what the thing is with Vinny? Like, I cried a lot when he was retiring. That last year, I listened to all those games, the last broadcast that he did, and I was so sad, like every game, and I was just, I mean, and then I think he almost, remember when he sung Wind Beneath My Wings on his last one, I was like, well, that's the first thing he ever did that was not the right words, because he was
really?
Not a good singer.
Really?
Okay. His last game. But he was, but I felt like, I just want to celebrate him. Like, I don't, you know, we've been playing that music all day, the sad music. When we do the rejoins and it's sad. And I am sad. We're all really sad. But gosh dang, man, that guy had an amazing life. Like if we could
94.
All make it to 94 and do as much good in the world as Vin Scully did and make people love baseball and make people, it's not even just love baseball. It's like he's the Shakespeare in the booth, man. And he was, my favorite Vin Scully times were when he would tell a story or when he would see a little kid at the baseball game. Like there was always a little girl or a little boy who was there with their son or with their mom or dad. And he was just like, oh, will you look at that sweetheart? You know, and he would always have something to say. And if anybody else said it, it might seem corny. But like when Vin said it, it was just like so pure and genuine. And he just, you know, he did play by play of his grandkids swimming in the pool. Like he just he just was that guy. And I was, you know, people always talk about, like, who, do you live your beliefs? Do you live your religion? Do you live the things that you say are important to you and who you are?
Try my best.
And, right?
Yeah.
He really did. Like, he really treated people the way they should be treated. He really, you know, was, like, I've never found anybody say a bad thing about Vin Scully. Like,
Not at all.
I haven't heard it. And so I think, like, today, it's, I feel just like, hail fellow well met. I mean, my goodness, what a life.
I have no stories, but I can't wait to hear others. Mm-hmm. I love hearing this stuff. I went through this in St. Louis with Jack Buck. Same thing. I mean, just an outpouring. I didn't listen to the guy growing up, but I could tell he meant a lot. 94, man. I mean, 94 years old. You have kids. I have kids. I don't.
Yeah.
It's not me getting to 94. It's like, how old are they going to be when I'm 94? That's what I'm looking for. So, yeah, like you said, man, that is a life well-lived and born to do it. Absolutely. Just the stories. I was just talking to a guy, a friend of mine that works for the NFL Network, and I mentioned it, you know, about Vin Scully. I'm going on the air. We're going to talk about Vin Scully. And he said he read me my bedtime story every night.
Yeah. I mean, I could just hear his voice, and it makes me happy. And
really?
I think for those of us who grew up in L.A., I just felt gratitude. I felt grateful. I mean, like he's what, like, when I first started out in this business, there's a few people who I would meet that I was in awe of and I couldn't even talk. Like I was like so awestruck. When I met John Wooden, I was like, oh, it's John Wooden.
Yeah. Let him speak first.
I had a voicemail that he left me once, because I was calling him for a story about, the UCLA women's softball coach, and John Wooden called me and he said, I didn't answer because it was from a restricted number. I didn't know it was him. I'm like, I can't believe I missed the John Wooden phone call. And it was, hi, Ramona. This is John Wooden, ex-UCLA men's basketball coach.
Duh.
Like he had to interview. And that's kind of how it was with Vin, too. Like I met Vin in the press box a few times when I'd cover games. And he would say, hi, Ramona. And I was like, Vin Scully knows my name.
That's cool.
Vin Scully knows my name. And most of the time I would be okay. Like I would be like, be cool, Ramona, be cool. Like act like you've been here before. I never got there with Scully. I was too in awe. I was too reverential towards him. And sometimes you want to meet your icons in this world. You want to meet the legends. You want to meet the people you grew up listening to. Because he really was the soundtrack of my childhood, the soundtrack of so many of our childhoods and our youth and our love of sports and baseball. And I just wanted to keep him up on the pedestal. Like I don't.
Why not? Why do you
like
have to
take
him down?
I didn't want to know him as like.
Oh,
the man. Like I didn't.
You don't want to see him as human,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
You just keep him right up there on that pedestal, and I think for a lot of people he is like. And I remember like last night when I saw Joe Davis and Jessica Mendoza were on the call, and I always have the game on in the background, and I'm putting my kids down, and my 3-year-old came out, and I saw the announcement, I started crying, and he was upset, and he goes, "Mommy, why are you upset?" And I go, "Oh, mommy's friend passed away." And I was like, because you have to explain it to a 3-year-old. But I was like, that is how he feels, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He feels like a friend. So I want to open it up to everybody here. 877.
You're going to make me cry, man. Come on.
That's what I
told you. You're making people cry right now.
I know.
Stop, Laura. Looking at me.
Laura, you crying? Did I get you there?
Yeah.
Not yet, but I did cry last night.
No, but we want to. I think today is.
That's all right. Go ahead and cry.
It's okay. It's okay if you're sad.
Good stuff.
And I'm sad too. And we all went through that yesterday and today. But I want to like.
What did I hear about?
So let's celebrate him today.
Like, a friend of mine's mom passed, and they said, like, you have to give her time. Give Vin his time. If you feel sad, feel sad. If you cry, cry. It's all good.
If you, I want to hear your stories and your thoughts out there. So 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. If you want to talk about the life of the great Vin Scully, who passed away yesterday at the age of 94.
Wow.
The soundtrack of our youth and 67 years.
67 so a lot years. Of good Lord. 25 World Series. Oh my gosh. Yes, that is a role model for all young broadcasters. This is what you want to be if you can.
I think this is probably appropriate.
What?
Oh, that worked, Laura?
What happened? There we go.
Let's try that again.
Hi, everybody, and a very pleasant good evening to you, wherever you may be.
That's Vinny.
Wow. Right?
All right, Ramona Shelburne, DeMarco Farr, in for Zano and Cap. Vin Scully, and we want to hear your remembrances when we come back. ESPN LA.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Shakira. I thought we were going Salt and Pepper.
So did I.
My hips don't lie.
So did
you know
I.
What?
My hips did.
My hips don't lie.
You know what? When he says it, I believe him. That's DeMarco Farr,
right.
Ramona Shelburne. You know. Mm. I mean.
I can chair dance. That's all I can do.
I mean, his Twitter handle is D Booty, right? Is
no,
that what it is?
D-Far 1.
D-Far 1.
Yeah, DeMarco Farr 1. Well,
Is that what you put on your jersey at the softball game?
D Booty is my college nickname. Yeah, that's what they called me. No one called me DeMarco. No one calls me DeMarco except when I come in here.
I call you D-Far.
D-Far, that works.
Right?
Yeah,
is that what it is?
No one calls me DeMarco. No. Are you laughing at me?
No, but what do you prefer to be called?
Whatever you want to call me.
That's such a football player.
Yeah.
Just don't call me late for dinner. Yeah.
You been hanging out with Michael Thompson, huh?
That's my guy.
That was like a Michael Thompson.
That was my dude.
Michael.
You are like
D-Far works. D-Far is cool. Yeah.
All right. So yesterday we lost the late great Vin Scully, and I sort of feel like he's one of these guys that we've lost him, and he hasn't been he hasn't been on our airwaves for a while. I feel like he's never gonna leave, right? Like you're always gonna hear Vin Scully calls. You're always going to hear Vin Scully call the Kirk Gibson home run. You're always going to hear him say it's time for Dodger baseball. You're always going to he's one of those people who left that mark where like you're just going to hear that forever. And you're always going to know it's Vin. Like the first second he comes out of his mouth. I remember Bill Plaschke had a great column in the LA Times today. He said Bill's one of those reporters who knew Vin really well. He said he would call him and he would always say, "Bill, this is Vin Scully." And Bill was like,
"Duh.
Yeah, I knew it was Vin Scully the second you said my name." And so many major leaguers would always say, it was just like to have Scully call your game.
Wow.
That was like making it.
What a dream.
So whenever I hear the Gibson homer, it's going to be Vin Scully.
When Gibson hit the home run, it was a tremendous emotional experience, and luckily I didn't have to say anything. I mean, I just shut up and let the crowd go crazy until I calmed down, because there's an animal magnetism about a crowd. It rubs off on you. Sure. It gets you all worked up.
I mean, that's like just hearing his voice, right? Now, you probably didn't know this. You know, Vin did more than baseball.
I did know this. I did hear about this, yeah.
Vin Scully called the catch.
Montana, looking, throwing in the end zone. It's a madhouse at Candlestick.
Wait, he called that on TV?
Yes, on
ABC. That was him?
Yeah. He also called Hank Aaron's 715th home run.
Aaron waiting, the outfield deep and straight away. Fastball is a high drive into deep left center field. Buckner goes back to the fence. It is gone. What a marvelous moment for baseball. What a marvelous moment for Atlanta and the state of Georgia. What a marvelous moment for the country and the world. A black man is getting a standing ovation in the deep south for breaking a record of an all-time baseball idol.
Do you know how big a deal it was that he said that?
Absolutely, yeah.
That he acknowledged the civil rights aspect of that?
Yes.
That he acknowledged that it was a black man in the deep south?
In the deep south, yeah.
I mean, that's a huge deal that Vin Scully had the presence, not only to say that Hank Aaron just broke Babe Ruth's record.
Yeah, yeah.
But to acknowledge at that time.
Respect.
What that meant.
Yeah, respect.
All right.
Are you going to tell him not to say it? Yeah.
Eddie and San Dimas, what do you got?
Hi, good to see you guys. Ramona, love you. You're great.
Thanks,
you're
man.
Amazing. One of the best in the business. DeMarco, remember you on the Best Damn Sports Show period. Love you too, buddy.
What's happening?
My favorite Vin Scully moment, my wife and I were driving to Disneyland with my four-year-old daughter and a baby on the way. We decided not to go because we looked at the last second that tickets for Vin Scully's last weekend were cheap at the Dugout Club. Ended up buying them, going all the way around from Anaheim back to L.A., going to see Vin Scully on Friday night at Dodger Stadium when they had Kershaw, Sandy Koufax all speaking on initiating his retirement that weekend. And that was my four-year-old daughter's first baseball game. We got his letter to the fans that they were giving out for free. And we got to see him. He was right above us. He waved over to all the crowd at the Dugout Club and all over Dodger Stadium. It was one of the most iconic moments for myself, my family, and my four-year-old daughter at the time. She's now going to be 11 years old. And she remembers that till this day. And that just will stick with me for the rest of my life because I grew up listening to Vin. My dad grew up listening to Vin, and he was kind of like our unofficial grandpa and the unofficial grandpa of Los Angeles.
Now you got Laura now. You got Laura with that
story. Did she cry? Oh, got her. Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
It gets you, right? Like, I was sitting there and watching last night, and I just, like, I think I knew this day was coming, right? He was 94, and you know, I mean, people.
94, yeah.
94, but, like, you're not quite ready, and it hits you in waves, but I just. Man, like he was Vin Scully everywhere you met him. If you met him at the grocery store, he was still Vin Scully. He was that guy.
Never turned it off. It wasn't phony.
Yeah.
It was real.
Hey, Adam and Winneka, you're on ESPN LA.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good. How are you, Adam?
Awesome.
Doing well. I just recall seeing meeting Vin Scully at a Jamba Juice of all places. And
Vin Scully at Jamba Juice. I love it.
And he offered to pay for mine and my daughter's juice, and he took the time to speak to her, to ask her random questions regarding school, all types of stuff, and it just showed how much love he had for people, how compassionate he was, how caring he was, and it's just a great moment to see somebody that's so humble.
When you met him, did you ask if it was Vin Scully?
I did introduce myself. I was very shy because, you know, Vin Scully is a humongous thing. It's not just anybody. It's a legend that will always be with the city of L.A. And it was just a great moment that I'll always get to cherish along with my daughter.
Awesome. Thanks, Adam.
Do you take that if he says, I'll buy you Jamba Juice?
I don't know.
Do you take that?
I kind of want to know what he had, too.
I'd buy his, right?
Right? Yeah. Like, yeah. You keep him on this pedestal, and there's, I mean, so much of my professional career is meeting your group people you grew up, you know, idolizing, or legends, or people that just meant a lot to you personally. And then you meet them, and you have to be cool. Like, you have to, like, not act like you're overwhelmed by the moment of it. But I almost felt like with Vinny, I didn't want to bring him down to any level. I just want to keep him right up there.
I got you. Yeah.
Steven in Glassell Park, you're on with DeMarco and Ramona.
Hey, first of all, Momo, you make every appearance wherever you are better.
Oh, thanks, man.
By your presence. Laura, love your spice.
Spice.
And D. Farr.
What up?
I'm 72 years old. I've been a Rams fan since the fearsome foursome. I never stopped being a Rams fan, no matter where they were. And I'm still a Rams fan.
Love you. It's a great era to be in, right? Yes, sir.
I discovered Vin Scully and the Dodgers. I moved out here from Chicago in 1957. In 1959, I got my first transistor radio and discovered the Dodgers. They're in their championship year, 59. And I had started to play organized ball a little bit, but, you know, it's like child ball. Vin Scully taught me the game as I grew into my adolescence and my teen years, listening to him describe. He explained things, and as I got old enough to understand. So he was my teacher. And also, with my transistor and walking through the world, wherever I walked in the neighborhoods, you couldn't walk down any block without every third house on either side of the street. You could hear Vince Scully during the summer coming out of the backyard or out of a window or out of the porch. If you were driving on the street and stopped at a signal and you had the game on, the people next to you would have the game on. So not just when we were at Dodger Stadium where you could hear Vin's voice echoing throughout the building, but out in the world you could hear him everywhere you walked in L.A. And I've lived in other parts of the country as well and made sure that I could get Vin's voice. Sometimes I picked Vin's voice up from 10,000 feet in the Rocky Mountains.
Wow.
So it hit me like a big punch, even though I knew that he was older and, you know, that he was going to go sometime. It viscerally, it gut-punched me. So, and I'm still affected. At my age, it touched me with the loss, and then, you know, I am trying now to remember and to have joy of all of my connection and the privilege to have experienced him over a lifetime. I'm 72, and so 1959, that's over 60 years, me and Van.
Hey, Steven, thank you for that call. And, you know, I'm with you on that, too, and the older I get and the more you lose people, the feeling I usually have when I lose somebody that was important to me the way Vin was important to so many of us is, one, I want to celebrate them. Two, I never want to have that feeling of regret that you didn't appreciate them while they were there, while they were with us, while they could have taught. And I learned that early in my life when I lost some relatives that were close to me that I didn't call them or I didn't connect to them, or there was conversations I wish I would have had. And I always felt like with Vin, like I made myself get to know him and learn, think about him and do as much as I could to appreciate him while he had him. And I think that's why I'm mostly just grateful, because he really did share so much of himself with us, even though he never made it about him. He kept your attention, and you know, baseball is always a soundtrack that's on in the background. Like, you can be eating dinner and you turn it on at 7 o'clock and the game's on and it's on for 3 hours, and it's, you know, there's in between innings there's not always a lot going on, right? There's a 4 innings will go by, nothing happens. But Vin always made you listen and made you feel like you were part of the game, because he had so many stories, so many good insights about life, about everything. But he was also really freaking funny.
It's like they're going to call it a trap. And Jim Tracy, he caught the ball, Jim said. he caught the ball. He caught the blinking ball. He caught the darn ball. Oh, you're gone. Wow. He is gone. That is blinking fertilizer. I'm doing the best to translate. You gotta be blinking me. The ball, he caught the ball. No way. No blinking way. No bloody way.
Can I get away with that? I
mean,
like that.
Come on.
That is fertilizer.
That's amazing.
I'm gonna use that.
Peter in Redondo Beach, you're on with DeMarco and Ramona.
Fertilizer.
Oh, God. Good to talk to you guys.
Thanks, man.
D-Mark, Momo. Hey, love you guys. Love you guys. I'm a massive Giants fan. I'm a huge Giants fan. I hate the Dodgers. I have a California schizophrenia where I'm fans of both the Giants, both of the Niners and the Rams, because the Rams are gone for a while. But you know what? There has never been a better voice. There has never been a better voice for baseball than Vin Scully. Okay? The Dodgers have always had the best catchers. I played catcher growing up. Johnny Roseboro, Matt Piazza, even Paul LaDuca. Come on, man. Gotta respect the opposition. But as a Giants fan, there was no one better than Vin Scully.
Well, that's big. That's big to say.
Yeah, and it was Vin's last game was against Giants and Dodgers.
Yeah.
His last night, Giants and Dodgers.
Wow.
I mean, there's a poetry in it.
I got one question.
Mm-hmm.
Did the last caller, 10,000 feet in the Rockies? Is that what he said he was? 10,000 feet up?
Yeah, Colorado can be that tall.
And he was still listening to a game.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm just checking.
You can get it on the transistor radios.
Yeah. Okay.
We're going to be doing a lot of calls all day long as we remember the life of Vin Scully.
Awesome.
I want to keep it. We're all emotional today, but I want to keep it a little light because Vin is amazing, and he's also the guy who says things like this.
Say, friends, you can't make it to the game, but you still want that one-of-a-kind Dodger Stadium experience? Well, all you need is Farmer John Dodger Dogs, available now at your local grocery store. One bite of that legendary hot dog, your couch becomes your own personal baseline seat. You'll practically be able to smell the grass. So pick up some Farmer John Dodger Dogs at your local grocery store today to get that Dodger Stadium experience. And remember, for big league hunger, all you need is Farmer John.
DeMarco, we have to do live reads all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm about to do a Valvoline read, okay? Is there any way you could do a better live read than that?
No.
I want a Farmer John dog.
I want a hot dog right now.
I want to turn my seat into the
third baseline.
I want to. I could smell the grass. I mean, like,
wow.
That is
effortless.
Amazing that he can just say that.
Yes, sir.
I mean,
yeah.
Vince Scully, man. Ramona Shelburne, DeMarco Farr, in for Sonata and Cap, ESPN LA.
Working up a
DJ
sweat.
DJ Spinderella, turning 51 today.
I thought they kicked her out of the group.
What?
I thought they kicked her out of the group.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think so.
They did kick her out of the group.
They did kick
they
her
had,
out of the
had
group.
They had a falling out.
They had a movie, right?
Yeah, and they had a movie and she wasn't involved. Yeah, she's a big falling out.
Fudge, be
that?
Honest.
Like, what is Salt and Pepper without DJ Spinderella?
That's the only reason I cared.
Was she the salt or the pepper?
No, she was the DJ.
She was the DJ.
DJ, that's right, yeah.
So Salt and Pepper are still there?
Salt and Pepper is still there, yes. But Spinderella's the DJ, and she just felt like she didn't get enough recognition. That's why.
That'd be like if you went rogue, Funch.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or maybe it'd be like if Laura went rogue.
Yeah.
If Laura was, like, bigger than the show.
I would never go rogue.
This is when spandex was, like, new, right? Spandex's clothing was like
hoop earrings, right?
Yeah, big time with the big jackets.
So
yeah.
DJ Spinderella got cut out?
They left her out of the movie and she was upset about it.
Well, she should be.
Of course, yeah.
I mean, I guess she's not the salt or the pepper, but she's definitely the
Right.
Salt and pepper.
Thank you. Thank you.
51 years old.
God bless her.
Seems kind of young, actually, considering like Salt and Pepper was my childhood.
Yeah. Well, wait.
How old were they when they were famous?
When did you graduate from high school?
97.
97. Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah.
I'm an old lady.
Yeah, yeah. No.
Why did you say it like that?
97?
Like, oh, 97.
Because I was about to say when I graduated, she said 97, and I stopped. Yeah.
Gotcha. I'm not when did do you that. Graduate?
If she's old, right, I'm not going to tell you when I graduated.
Why not?
Because.
We all fam.
Okay, me and Spin are the same age. There.
Okay.
Yeah, does that make me old?
Okay.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Okay. That makes me old?
No, I mean,
I
not.
I said no.
Dang.
You know what the truth is? I just turned 43, and I had a harder time with that one. That was like
43 or
yeah,
just
43.
Why 43. Why 43, not 42 or 41?
42, 41, I still felt like I was in my early 40s.
Ah, okay.
40 feel 43 feels like I'm crossing over into the mid 40s.
I feel you. I turned 34 and I was like,
yeah, mid 30s now.
34 and you're crying? Yeah. I don't want to hear that.
Not,
stop
you're
it.
Not in your mid 40s until you get to 45, I think.
Exactly.
Okay, was that what it is? That's the line?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
the five.
For sure.
Yeah. You think 43 is bad? Wait till you cross 45.
Oh,
oh
man.
Yeah, there you go.
I 45 mean, is mid, and then like 48, 49 is late.
Late. See, but then the same should apply. So 43 should be more like mid rather than early.
Wow.
Because you're getting close. Wow. You're on no, the no, wrong no. side
you,
of early.
You don't round up. You just, you know, you
okay.
round
down. I mean, I'll be calling you when I'm 48 and be like, I'm still mid 40s, right?
Dang
not
right.
late 40s? Okay. I had a harder time, but I was also like, I don't know, just like a month old baby at home. And I didn't, like, everyone was like, what are you doing for your birthday? I'm like, maybe I will get to go out for a drink with a girlfriend after the baby goes to sleep. Maybe.
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 Yeah, yeah.
Probably not.
It's motherhood, man.
Yeah.
Parenthood.
It's okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's okay. I'm going to have young kids, so theoretically it should make me feel old. I mean, feel young, but it makes me feel old.
And at some point, you'll circle back around. You'll have you time again. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, my kid's seven now, so she can, like, make her own cereal. She can make her own scrambled eggs.
Is that how that works? They get better at things?
Absolutely. She gets better. You teach her how to, like, hunt and gather, and then you get to have your life back. That's the way it goes. Absolutely. I can now sleep in.
I love it.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's Tom Brady's 45th birthday today.
Wow.
45.
Still going.
And I'm so happy that he is still going, because he's, like, the last athlete who's older than me.
I'm trying to think. Who else is out there that might be older?
How old is Udonis Haslem? He's been around.
UD is old, but I don't think he's 45.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think he might be approaching 40.
He's 42.
He's 42. 42.
Yeah,
42.
Okay. Like, Brady's
close.
The last guy who's older than us. So as
wow.
long as Brady's playing,
good for you.
I'm still kind of young.
And he's got some years left. He's got some years left.
Really?
Oh, yeah, he's got some years left. You saw that last season.
Yeah, you know, he was great.
Phenomenal. Yeah. I think he's going to, like, I don't think he's going to fall off like Max Kellerman said he was going to fall off. But at some point, he's going to have that Y.A. Tittle moment. Like, what am I doing out here with all these young cats?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who can he relate to? Outside of football.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember when Emmitt went down to Arizona. He was an older player. And I remember the quote well. He said, I feel like a diamond amongst trash.
Yeah.
Now, what he was trying to say was, I'm the old guy in the room. Mm-hmm. But all the young guys heard was, oh, you think I'm trash. And it didn't work. You know what I mean? So I wonder how Tom Brady communicates with the younger guys. How do you communicate with a guy that's 23 years old and you're 45?
Like, you're their dad.
Right.
That's how you have to talk to them.
Right.
I mean, but I think that's kind of it. That's that happens to all of us in our careers.
Yeah.
So when I first started, I was the young kid, and I would talk to the older reporters, and they would sort of, it would feel like talking to my, first it would feel like talking to my mom, then it would feel like talking to my older brother or sister, right?
Yeah.
And now I'm the older one. Now I'm the one who talks to the younger reporters.
The gray beard. Yeah, I got you.
And I'm like, when did that happen? I don't know when that happened.
Well, you got to be good to do that. To
yeah.
flip it.
You got to stick around for a while.
To go from young guy to old guy. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, that's the goal, right?
Yes, sir.
But it's interesting. Like, when the people you could, like, Jackie McMullen told me this. Jackie McMullen was the, just retired last year about this time. And she was like my big sister in journalism, right? She would teach me a lot of stuff. She covered the Boston Globe, covered all the great Celtics teams. I got to be a colleague with her at ESPN. And I remember asking her, like, what's it like when you're now in your, she worked in her, I think, early 60s. And she goes, well, the difference is when you first start out, you're the same age as the players. And then the longer you go, the players you covered, they retire. And then you're covering their sons as they come into the league. And then the longer you go, now you only cover now you really have the most in common with the coaches.
Right.
And then when you get really old, now you only have anything in common with the executives and owners. Because they're the oldest ones.
That's how it goes, right? Yeah. That's how you age out. That's appropriate.
Did you guys know that Albert Pujols is 42?
Yes.
No.
Yes. Wait, officially?
Yes. I mean,
he's been 42 for like the last 8 years.
That's what he says on his Wikipedia. Yeah. And also Rich Hill, former pitcher for the Dodgers, 42.
Is 42.
No way. He's older than that.
Yeah.
Come on now. Come on.
Probably older than that, but he says 42 on his Wikipedia.
Okay.
Wow.
I mean, there's certain people who just seem old. Like, they just, like, yeah. Tom Brady's been doing this for a long time. He doesn't seem 45 to me, though.
No. Young, in shape. Yeah. I think he's got years left.
Yeah.
Yeah. This whole thing with Miami is cracking me up, though.
Yeah. I mean, this whole thing is the big story. We're going to get to a lot of this tomorrow.
Makes me laugh, right?
It was funny. I was coming in yesterday. This is my first show back from maternity leave. And back is a relative term, okay? Like, am I back? I don't know. I'm doing a few shows. I'm still got mom brain. Back in air quotes, okay? but it's also August, so there's not so much going on NBA-wise. Yeah. So I don't really have all that much work to do. It was funny. I was prepping last night. I was like, should I just go in there and wing it? Should I just read? And, like, I have been paying attention. I do follow the news and stuff. I'm home. I mostly watch – I watch ESPN during the day or when I'm not binge-watching something on Netflix. And
what are you watching on Netflix?
I'm watching.
I can't find anything on Netflix. All right, go ahead though.
No, I can give you my list.
Really?
I have a lot. Okay. I've been watching Loot. I like that Maya Rudolph show.
I haven't watched that yet.
That's Apple Plus. That's pretty funny. I watch all the Below Decks. There's one in Australia and there's one in
Below Deck.
Below Deck Mediterranean. I love that one. It's the people who work on the yachts and they make fun of all the clients.
Really? I got to write this stuff down.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll give you my list.
Good stuff.
List.
Okay.
But the big news I thought we were going to be talking about was Stephen Ross, the owner of the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah.
Getting suspended, being fined $1.5 million. They forfeited their 2023 first-round pick.
That's going to hurt.
And basically finding that Brian Flores was right. Like, all the things Brian Flores said about what the Dolphins did was right. And they didn't claim that, oh, he didn't intentionally lose the games, or at least that's not what they're finding them for. But they wanted to tamper by meeting with Tom Brady.
Trying to get Tom Brady.
Get Tom Brady.
To be a partner, to be in ownership. And weren't they going after Sean Payton as well, the coach?
He in 2019, he had repeated communications with both Tom Brady and Sean Payton while trying to recruit big names to his team.
How would you frame that? To me, that sounds stupid. Like, how did you think you were going to get away with that?
I think there's a sort of everybody cheats quality to things like that.
How did they get caught with that?
It was mostly because Brian Flores.
Because of Brian Flores. Then it came out that way. So without Brian Flores, you probably don't know this was happening with Tom Brady.
Yeah, and I think one of those things.
Crazy.
I mean, there's stuff like this happens in professional sports.
All the time.
If you're not cheating, you're not trying. I mean, there's a quality, and my job as a reporter is to unearth the people and how they're cheating. But then there's also a sort of acknowledgement of reality that there's no such thing as, okay, free agency opens at 6:01 p.m. Eastern.
And officially.
No, there's no conversations. I mean, everybody tries to make it look good now.
Right.
Like, there's used to be really like the Wild West. Like, deals were done weeks in advance.
Oh, yeah.
And now they try to make it look good because the league trying to put out a lot of edicts and said you can't tamper and you can't do these deals in advance. But the truth is a lot of stuff gets done, at least conceptually, in and around the draft because you're talking to the same agents about free agency in and around the draft because they have the same clients. The player, like, agents will take their clients through the draft. They're talking to the GMs and the teams, and you're allowed to talk about prospects who are in the draft. There's trade conversations that happen in and around that time. And so those conversations happen under the guise of we're talking about this person I might draft in the first round. But
by the way,
we can also sort of kind of talk in general terms about my free agent who's coming up in 2.5 weeks.
Yeah. Hypothetically speaking. Right.
Nowadays, people try to make it look good. And very rarely does anyone ever get in trouble for this. But when they do, it's usually because somebody was really egregious and they were sloppy. It was too obvious. In the NBA, it was James Harden recently. The Sixers are being investigated for James Harden he kind of is on the record saying it. Like, I'm taking less so that we could sign P.J. Tucker and blah, blah, blah. Well, if James Harden's a free agent, he's not supposed to be talking about the other free agents they signed. It was just, like, out of order.
Right.
Like, you got to make it look good.
Right.
Okay?
right.
Same thing with...
make it look like you're following the rules.
With the Knicks and Brunson. Okay? Yeah. I mean, they hired his dad as a coach. I mean, for months and months and months, it's been building up. The Mavericks are a little mad about them stealing their player. It all is usually when it's just kind of people were sloppy about it or they were too loud about it. This is what happened with Stephen Ross and the Dolphins. Probably everybody knew. Probably everyone in Miami, probably everyone with the Saints, everyone with Tom Brady's camp. They probably all knew. But it wasn't until Brian Flores' lawsuit came out and made those accusations public that everybody had to be like, yeah, I guess that, you know.
Yeah. I wonder, didn't they do the same thing or try with Peyton Manning, or did they, was that a no?
Yeah, this is tried. All pretty standard. Yeah, yeah.
Standard stuff with guys like them, mm-hmm. like Tom Brady. That would have been odd, though, to play and be an owner of the team you're playing for.
Mm-hmm.
That would be shocking. But if anybody can do it, it's going to be Tom Brady. But this is not his fault. When people, and I'm with you, when people were going off about Deflategate,
yep.
I kind of looked at them sideways. I'm like, you think they're the only team that does this?
Yep.
Even Spygate, you think they're the only team that has done this before? You know, like Bill Belichick did not make this up.
Right.
Yeah, he's a lot of things, but he's not the innovator of cheating. A lot of people have done this, but yeah.
You know, it's crazy to me that the reason we know a lot of this is the Brian Flores lawsuit. And a lot of the reason why Brian Flores filed that lawsuit is because Bill Belichick left a voicemail for the wrong guy.
Right.
And Brian Flores is...
Congratulations on getting the job or something like that? Yeah, that's it. That's how it started. Wow. Odd stuff. Odd stuff.
I kind of live in fear of that.
What?
As a reporter.
What, sending out the wrong text?
Yeah.
What?
Send the text to the wrong person. I'm almost like careful not to say, hi, this is Ramona from ESPN. Wanted to reach out about blah, 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 blah.
Right.
What if it's the wrong number?
The
what
wrong
if they
guy.
Change their number?
Wow. What does Dr. Clapper say? Measure twice, cut once? Yeah. Read twice, press send once before you get in trouble. That's just some odd stuff. You know, look, I wonder if that distracts Miami more than Tampa. It has to distract Miami more than Tampa. You know, you were courting Tom Brady, and you've got Tua there trying to play his best ball. I mean, I wonder how Miami comes out of this with this nonsense.
Hey, Ramona Shelburne, DeMarco Farr, in for Sedano and Cap. When we come back, we'll take more of your calls on Vin Scully, the passing of the late, great Vin Scully, ESPN LA.